Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to episode 24 of The Gamesman, recorded on Saturday, January 9th, 2010. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Lifelike, assuming the role of your host. This week, we have a little change to the format. It's a little bit of a special show, so we're starting the year off after the live show in a different fashion. So, none of the normal gamesmen besides myself are here today, but for episode 24 is Big Smooth 8.
What's up, everybody? You're saying it's different. We're calling it a takeover, you know.
Takeover.
Whichever way you want to look at it.
And the laughter that you hear besides Big Smooth is Murphy's Law.
Hey, everybody. Yes, this definitely would be qualified as an invasion, I think, of Mercs. Yes.
Everybody, you know, all the guys had stuff going on this week. Acid was, he was a little busy. Scotsman was busy. Excalibur has a wedding to go to today. All this stuff, you know, it and you guys know, you know how difficult it is to get people together all at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's no easy
try,
task.
Try planning with somebody 8 hours ahead of you.
Yeah.
Makes it even more fun.
So Big Smooth, what is up with you? What's new?
Not much. I mean, we're back in the saddle. We took a little break from the Couch Mercenaries. We took about 3 weeks, but now we're going to start recording again. We started last week. We had our first show of the year. Now we're going to record another one tonight as well. So that's pretty much what I've been up to. And obviously gaming. Games.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year. And let me say that the last couple of shows of last year for you guys were really, really good. I thought they were unique. You know, you brought something different to the table. I enjoyed them a lot.
Oh, thanks. Well, same to you guys as well.
Yeah, the bearded brothers.
Yep.
they came through pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Murph, what's going on with you, buddy?
Much like Big Smooth, we've been back recording for the new year, although we didn't actually take a break off with the Overseas Connection podcast. And I guess for the listeners that maybe aren't familiar with either Big Smooth or myself, we actually put on two podcasts over at couchmercenaries.com. And there's the regular TCM show, which is, you know, kind of a C-list podcast that Smooth puts on.
No.
And then
the
there's my
show.
A-list podcast that that we put on midweek. And, I mean, together we get along just fine.
We're the dynamic duo of internet podcasting, right?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And Big Smooth, you are stuck in C-list until you actually step up and play me in Madden.
That's what I was thinking. I thought the next time I'd see you two guys together or hear you two guys together that it would be under the umbrella of Madden 10.
No, actually, we talk every day. That's the surprising part.
Every day I remind him.
Oh, jeez. I bet that is that's probably a sore subject.
Well, now it's just becoming a laughing point.
It is. It's because I'm not really going to get Madden right now because I don't want to buy it, so I want to rent it, but I really haven't ventured into my local Blockbuster to rent it. So, we're going to wait it out.
Let's just face up to everybody. You've probably walked into that store a number of times, looked Madden square in the face, and said, not today.
I got to feel my groove. I got to feel my mojo. I got to feel ready to take you on, buddy.
All right, let's get to this featured music. Let's see. It is brought to you once again by PDP Dual Triggers, because we still have a few pair to give away. PDP is Performance Design Products, is an industry leader in designing and manufacturing products for all major video game platforms, including the Sony PS2, PS3, and PSP, Nintendo Wii, GameCube, and DS, and Microsoft Xbox and Xbox 360. In October of 2009, PDP released their first software title called Squeeballs Party, which is currently available at retailers. For more information on PDP and its products, visit www.pdp.com and follow the company on Twitter, @PDPGaming. So, how about Murphy's Law? What is the featured music for episode 24?
The featured music for episode 24 is from Wet. The main character, Ruby, carries twin pistols, which appear to be revolvers, but hold a surprising amount of ammunition. And a sword, she can also... She also carries dual shotguns, submachine guns, or crossbows, and can fire while jumping, sliding on her knees, and running on walls. You can totally tell I was prepared to read this off. During these acrobatic actions, the game enters slow motion, and she will automatically aim at a second enemy, allowing the player to shoot at two enemies at once. Clearly, this is groundbreaking. Amazon lists Wet for the Xbox 360 and PS3 new at $57, or used for around $40. The first interlude will be Desert Slaying, and the second will be Undead West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Law.
You are welcome.
So, let me say that on the episode 23 live, on the live show that we did last week, Acid B, one of his nominations for best soundtrack was Wet, and included in Wet, there's a lot of great rockabilly, and it was his suggestion to feature it so everybody could hear exactly why he nominated it. So that's where that comes from. And speaking of episode 23 live cleanup, Mr. Big Smooth, you had a little issue, and you weren't the only one with the live broadcast last week.
Yeah, I mean, my boys and I, you recorded your show at the same time we were recording, so we figured during our breaks and while we were waiting, you sent us an invite on the PSN chat, right? So we decided to check you out and see what it's all about, but all of a sudden we tuned in, we can't hear you, we kind of see you, but it's all jaggy and it didn't really work properly. We tried to stay there for about a few minutes, but we ended up dropping out, so we didn't get to see your pretty face for like an hour or so.
can I point out the first mistake out of all this?
Oh, it's on the PSN?
Exactly.
Okay. that was a good setup, Murph.
Oh, jeez.
So what happened? What happened, Steve?
Well, see, here's the deal. You know, on the PS3, on your chat properties, there are settings for, it's like the default device, and then you can select the devices.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes default device doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
Shocking. Something on the PS3 that doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to deal with this the whole time, aren't I?
You are.
Quite possibly.
Yes.
So it was weird that when I plugged in the camera, and obviously you know that the PS3i has a little mic bar on it.
Yeah.
Right.
It should have automatically adapted that to the default. That should have been the default device. But instead, after the first segment, I go and I look, and it's set to Bluetooth headset. The Bluetooth headset wasn't even on. It hadn't even been on that day at all. I don't know what happened. I went through, I made sure I set it. And now, after I unplugged that, took the PS3 back into the room where it normally is, I turn on the Bluetooth headset, the camera's unplugged, it's set correctly to the Bluetooth headset.
Huh.
I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
It's what the PS3 does.
Hey, I'm right there with you, Steve. I don't get it either. The whole PSN chat thing boggles me.
I mean, it's kind of cool that you can have five other people in there, you know, video chatting. But, and normally the bandwidth's fine. I don't know what was going on that night. I don't think it was my connection. But we kept dropping from Ustream every now and then. And it was funny. We remained on Skype the whole time. We had one continuous call all night. But everything else was falling to pieces around us. It was crazy.
Yeah, and the ironic part about that, I think, is if anything you would expect to fail, it would have been Skype.
Exactly. Or Audacity.
True.
I do have to say that we had a PDP dual triggers correction. I think there was one time that myself and Excalibur had said real triggers, and it's not actually real triggers. They are called dual triggers. So just so you know, I want to make sure of that correction. But I don't know if you guys listened to the recorded show, but to me, it was almost like the pick on Lifelike show.
Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Kind of like Murphy's Law.
Yeah, hey. You know what? For that day, I was Murphy's Law.
Nice.
Murphy's Law. It is a law to live by.
I'll tell you, the one day that I can't afford to work overtime, I'm forced.
Oh.
You know, I needed to get home, and it just didn't happen. And then I get on the show, and the whole night, Excalibur's trying to blow me up, blowing up my grammar. Is that actually a word? You sure that's a word?
Giving you a hard time.
Oh, and then Yoda said, my New Year's resolution is for Lifelike to play with me sometime instead of just sitting on the PSN.
Yeah, that's Yoda. That's Yoda.
And then the chat room, you know, everybody in the chat room is brutal no matter what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You were a target.
Yeah, well, always. Always.
Can I make one little correction, clean up myself?
Sure.
And that actually has to do with my gamer tag, Murphy's Law. I cannot tell you how many times I've had some kid, when I've been playing on, online, think my gamer tag relates to the show, Murphy's Law. It has nothing to do with the TV show, Murphy's Law. It has everything to do with the actual Murphy's Law.
Yeah, tell him we like Matlock. You know, there was another thing. I couldn't get Skype to act right. I was literally going out of my gourd because I was trying to add people to conference. It wouldn't let me add people to conference. Then later on, I was a little tipsy, and I still couldn't get it to work. And I was guessing I was doing it the right way then, but yeah, who knows? I don't know. But acid hung around. We lost Scotsman for the end. But all in all, if you take away the fact that I couldn't even get Excalibur to get in line with my drum roll and my cheering and everything when he announced some of the winners, it was an all right show.
You know what?
I was glad that it at least came out pretty good on the recorded end. But
yeah, as much adversity as you faced for that show, yeah, you did all right.
Yeah, we do our best. Actually, probably not, but we get close.
Close counts.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I tell my wife every day.
All right. Let's get to shout-outs. And how about Big Smooth? You go first.
I want to give a shout-out to Skype for dropping me out of the call previously. I think that's fantastic. I always enjoy talking to myself and making insults to nobody who's listening.
At least it'll make the blooper reel, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. I guess I want to give a shout-out to you for having me on your show today. That's the first time, and I always enjoy doing a show with you, Steve. It's always fun. It's the second show that we're doing. So I'm giving you a shout-out.
Hey, thanks.
No problem. Because you had a hard day last week, so last weekend. So I'm making up with this week by making this one your best. Okay.
All right. I'll take it. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right, Murph. What do you got?
Well, I too would like to shout out to Skype for dropping JF's dumbass before he started insulting me.
Bastard.
And of course, also, absolutely, Steve, thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thank you guys probably, for showing up.
Yeah, I could have done without Smooth, I will be honest. But I also want to give a big shout out to Christopher Matthew, who he's one of the guys over in the 035s. Great guy, and I wish him luck on his trek. He is going to be driving out from Kansas on a Harley to California, and hopefully we're going to get a chance to hook up and meet. So
nice.
Yeah. Just that Xbox Live community thing working again.
So I would just want to give out my sympathy for Chris Matthews then, if he's going to meet you. So that's about it.
Oh, man. This is going to be like Big Brother, Little Brother the whole time. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, as far as shout-outs for me, I want to shout-out everybody that sponsored the live show last week. PDP, that game company, they gave us a copy of Flower to give away. She Interactive gave us a copy of Shatter and five copies of the soundtrack to Shatter to give away. And, you know, Sony for coordinating everything. Thank you to everyone who came out for the live show and listened to the recorded show. We appreciate it. It's been great since then. In a week, I've seen 5 to 6 times the traffic that we've had normally.
Nice.
So it's been, I've definitely seen an increase.
You're welcome. I had nothing to do during the week, so I had to download your show over and over and over.
That's all right. It is all a numbers game. That's perfect.
Sweet.
And of course, I want to shout out TQ, BMI, Couch Mercenaries, which includes the Overseas Connection.
Thank you.
Thumbsticks, Evolved Gaming, and the O35s, which from now on will be known as the Veteran Gamers.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Really?
So that's kind of nifty. Yeah, I saw that in the O35's message boards the other day. I'm not sure as to what the URL is, but if you go to www.vghub.net, you'll be able to find all of the shows listed nice and neat for you. It's a one-click portal to the homepage of each show.
Oh, I guess that's what Chinny was talking about, right, Murph?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Velocity Gaming Hub is, or Velocity Gamers Hub
yeah.
is what it is. All right, so with all of that out of the way, we shall get to the first interlude from Wet and return to kind of dunk these guys' heads under the water and play a bit of RPG. I am going to play RPG if it kills me. We haven't played RPG in so long. It, you know, it, and all the time, you know, we end the show every week with, what role will you play? Well, we haven't played any roles for about a month. So if it kills me, we will get to that.
Well, I've got a role for Big Smooth to play.
Oh,
he may not like it, but I've got a role for him.
Speaking of rolling, how about you roll over and change your Depends diaper there?
Oh. Love you too, big guy.
No problem.
Love you too.
And with that, we will be right back. Alright, we are back, and it is time to play RPG, or role-playing game. I have crafted 2 random encounters and a boss battle for Big Smooth 8 and Murphy's Law.
Woohoo!
Yippee!
So let me ask you, are you guys ready to play a little role-playing?
Oh, I thought you would never ask, big boy.
Am I the maid again? I don't want to be the maid again.
Put on the only dress and shut up.
Only if you remembered your thong.
Just because I'm French doesn't make me a French maid, okay?
All right, with that out of the way, let's get right into it. Random encounter number one is for Murphy's Law, and it is entitled Hacks to the Max. According to a post at maxconsole.net, the PlayStation 3 has been hacksored. The post reads as follows. Okay, it may not be perfect, but nonetheless, a method has been found to boot PS3 Blu-ray copies with MotorStorm. But the bad news is, it doesn't work with every game, although Killzone 2, Pro Evolution Soccer 2008, and Burnout Paradise have been confirmed working. The process can only be used on older consoles as it centers around the installation of Linux. You are top brass at Sony. How do you combat piracy on your original install base?
I am Sony! You work harder to pay for my console!
Jesus Christ. You gotta be kidding.
Alright. I'm not gonna be able to keep that up. So, me being Sony. Well, yeah, I think clearly my first step is, you know, it looks like Linux is the problem area. So removing Linux for, you know, current consoles and future consoles is probably the right step to be making to help combat the piracy.
Wait. You know the fanboys are going to go crazy if you remove Linux.
I know, but you know what? They've removed all kinds of shit already, and they've stuck around.
I want my Linux!
Linux!
Get rid of Linux.
Why are you taking it away? I need Linux!
You know, and in terms of backwards consoles, you know, I'm thinking that really there's not going to be a heck of a lot you're going to be able to do, but I, you know, from all accounts, those consoles are pretty much all gone anyway, so it's not like there's a bunch of them out there. Because I believe it was the 50 gig console that was specifically being cited for this. So,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if I'm Sony, I'm thinking, one, it probably is cost prohibitive for most people to adopt this piracy, so I'm not overly worried about it, but I'm certainly going to do my best to limit future users from being able to do it via the whole Linux system.
So it, as you as Sony, is this something that you can do in firmware updates?
That's a great question. God knows they put out enough firmware updates.
Which I totally hate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, and I could be wrong, maybe they could do it via firmware update, but again, I think that from a legal standpoint, they run into some problems if they actually go into your system and remove software on your system that initially, when you bought the system, was okay to have on there. So I don't think Sony would do that via firmware. I think they would run into a lot of problems.
I wonder if it would be something that would be sort of hidden and not mentioned.
Again, I mean, you know, think about, I mean, you know, if they tried to do that, let's say they go in and they remove the, you know, the Linux via a firmware update. From a class action standpoint, that's, you know, as soon as it gets found out, and Sony has to know that somebody would discover that.
Well, and I think we all know that there's no beta testing like releasing to the general public. And yes, there are people out there that would probably break that update down.
Oh, without a doubt. Within the first day, it would suddenly be out there, you know, all over the internet. Sony removes Linux via firmware update. You know, protect your system.
I wonder if there's some way that they could do it secretly to still leave the Linux functionality there, but to somehow stop... I don't know. It just seems like... Maybe they just don't care about the systems that are out there and they're looking forward? Maybe.
Probably. I mean, again, if you look at the install base, and again, I don't know the exact proportion of consoles that have the ability to do this versus the new ones, but I mean, Sony may not be all that worried about their base install base, just from the standpoint of it hasn't been huge up to this point. I mean, if we were talking the PS2 and their numbers, then yeah, Sony's got a major problem. I was going to say, Sony has a problem with the PS2 anyway, because that's pirated left and right as well. But
my big thing is, like I said on the live show last week, was, you know, everything was good when there was like 7 of us that owned PS3s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was fine. All they wanted to do was just move consoles. And now, it seems like, I don't know, I have to figure that it had to be a concern. And they had to have known about it, obviously, for a while now. Because, as bonus XP, let me ask you, is this the reason that the Linux functionality was removed from what I like to call the PS 3.5? Because remember, they don't want us to call it the Slim.
Yeah, I'm sure it has everything to do with that. You know, there's no other real reason why they would have removed the Linux functionality, because I think from a hardware standpoint, it didn't have any kind of impact. And from a manufacturing standpoint, I think the functionality for Linux was a minimal cost, if anything. So I would guess that, yes, they took that out as a step to combat the piracy.
I mean, we've talked about it on our show a lot, and I'm sure that you guys probably have too, but that the ability to install Linux, one, unless you're hardcore, you're not going to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I've always thought of that as a backdoor.
What do you mean? Yeah? What do you mean backdoor?
As a backdoor without a guard posted at it. You know?
Right.
Like it's a way to just worm your way in, and a way to pirate everything. And it actually amazes me that it hasn't been pirated up until this point.
Well, I think probably a big factor in that, I mean, let's face it, that the popularity of the PS3 has been, it hasn't been through the roof up until probably this year, when Sony really seems like they're catching steam with some of their titles. So, you know, from a hacking standpoint, there wasn't really a huge desire or need to go in and hack the PS3.
That's a good
other
point.
Other than probably the hardcore hackers out there that just wanted to crack Blu-ray for the sake of cracking Blu-ray.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But now that you've got a game like Uncharted 2 that everybody wants to play, God of War 3 is coming around the corner, Heavy Rain, I mean, there's some big hitters, and people really start seeing, okay, there's some potential profitability in hacking it and pirating.
Well, that sounds to me like a level up.
Hoi!
All right, random encounter number 2 for Big Smooth 8 is entitled Wii Motion Plus. Plus? This comes to us from PCWorld.com. At the Consumer Electronics Show 2010, Nyko is showing off the Wand Plus, which is the same size as a regular Wii remote, but includes the functionality of Nintendo's accuracy-boosting Wii Motion Plus dongle. No attachments required. Best of all, the Wand Plus will sell for $40 when it goes on sale in late February, the same price Nintendo charges for a standalone Wii remote. Nintendo's Motion Plus attachment costs another $20. You, sir, are Nintendo. Does Nyko force your hand into dropping the Wii remote's price, or do you rely on your first-party reliability record of your hardware?
Well, first of all, if I'm Nintendo, I'm not even worried about this because we're printing money, so that's not a big deal. But no, Nyko for $40, that Wii remote is serious. It's serious. It's one-in-one, right? It's a Wii Motion Plus all-in-one. It's a serious controller, but you know what? At the end of the day, the parents are not going to buy a Nyko wand, I guess, if you want to call it, that's on a side at Walmart versus the one that you're looking at in the glass case behind and with the actual box, and it says Nintendo on there and all that. So I don't think I'm worried about it, unless, you know, you have some people that are thrifty that kind of do their research before they go about it. I don't think it's going to be an issue. And also, Nintendo, they can do what they did with like Wii Play. They can decide, you know, we'll say, okay, I'll say, you know what, Wii Play did really good with the little controller, and Wii Resort is doing okay with the attachment that comes with it, with the game. So what they could do is they could put more games with the actual Wii Motion Plus in the box itself. So sell...
Yeah. I was just going to say, Smooth, is that the way you combat it? Do you think bundling the controller with software is the way Nintendo...
Of course.
...kind of...
Well, of course,
eliminates that.
Because we all know that cost right now or money, they're not really they're not really hurting this as far as money, right? So they can afford to take the loss with the actual, you know, with the actual sale of the, of a game with the actual 1-1. I'll tell you personally, when I bought Wii Resort, because I bought it for my wife, she wanted it. It came with the Wii Motion Plus, and I purchased the other one, which is $24 Canadian. So I purchased another one as well with it. It didn't really bother me because I knew I was getting the 1-1 experience, which, to be honest, it doesn't really make a difference. Like a little difference, but nothing like major where you'd notice. It's not like going from an SD TV, a regular tube TV, to an HD TV. It's not that different, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is exactly what I had thought myself was. In times of an economic downturn, you know, as we're in at this point, people don't really look for discounts. They look for value.
Yeah.
And a Motion Plus in with a Wii Remote, why do you think Wii Play has done so well? It's added value. These people, even though it's not really a full-fledged game, I can get a remote and a game for $50.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Sign me up.
Exactly. And you know what? In all honesty, if they don't pack it in, when the next Zelda, which is going to be required Wii Motion Plus, I might buy a Nyko wand, a wand plus. Unless it's packed in.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I was going to say, probably the only place where this potentially hurts Nintendo is for those people that have already bought the bundle, the Wii Motion Plus bundle one time.
Yes.
And now they're looking for another controller just to stand alone on its own. The other factor that comes into play, though, and this is the one that nobody knows until it actually hits market, is how good really is the Nyko controller?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Because if it's crap and it's shoddy work, word will get out. The people at the game stores are going to be, you know, promoting it as crap. So I think the jury's out on just how much an impact it will really play.
Well, I think in piggybacking off of that is the fact that, is this Nyko wand going to be, you know, is it going to carry the Nintendo seal of approval?
It should, because isn't it copyright?
I think it is. So that would mean that Nintendo would have had to share the technology with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
But if they're only charging $40, I mean, Nintendo has to be livid at that point.
Not necessarily, because you also have to factor in, if Nintendo is officially licensing Nyko, they're going to get part of the sale.
Well,
that's
probably true.
They're going to make profit off that controller.
Exactly.
Not a lot, but they're going to make profit.
Exactly. We at Nintendo still make money on other accessories as well.
Oh, God, do you make money. You know, and I don't know. I hate to... every time, everybody makes me feel like I have to sit here and represent. I love my Wii. I love my Wii. But, you know, for something like this, and I mean, you think about it, Red Steel 2 is going to use it. I mean, there's a lot of games that are coming that are probably aimed toward us that are going to use it.
Are you really excited for Red Steel 2?
Let me just say that I have high hopes for it.
Okay. But
that's a polite way of saying
that. Okay. Let me say that. Okay. Let me rephrase that. I would like for it to be good.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting for a third party to hit a mature a home run on the system, and Dead Space Extraction should have done it.
What about the other one there? It's escaping me. The other game, the Mad World. What'd you think about that one?
I liked it. It was repetitive. The thing that killed it was the fact that, A, you know, we're all technophiles. It didn't run in progressive scan. It was an interlaced signal. So it was an interlaced widescreen signal.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, it was a repetitive beat-em-up. Now, that didn't bother us 25 years ago, but now we've evolved. Mm. So, Nintendo, Nintendo needs to evolve as well. And I think part of them changing the bundles and shifting and not being bullheaded is part of that evolution that needs to happen.
I would counter your point there. I don't think Nintendo needs to evolve at all. I think Nintendo, if they're smart, won't try to evolve. The moment they try to evolve into a hardcore console is the moment they lose.
Yep.
They've captured a niche market. It's, you know, it's the casual gaming market, and that's where they're good. And the hardcore market is where they fail. Yep. We've seen it repeatedly with these titles. And I think third-party developers, quite honestly, have gotten to the point that they're probably getting tired of getting punched in the face every time they release a
title. I mean, look at Electronic Arts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I think if Nintendo's smart, they don't try to go after the hardcore market with this console. They can't do it.
Probably have a point. I hate to admit it, because the thing that that attracted me to the Wii was, you know, like the question had stated, was first of all the first party reliability of the hardware, and second of all, I've gamed for the better part, actually over a quarter of a century. You say that to yourself, that's a long time. You know, you've seen a lot come and go, and it offered something new, something that hadn't been done before. And now with the One Plus, it makes me anxious to see what happens with these other motion controllers, even though I'm really not banking on them.
Have you tried them though?
Motion Plus?
Yeah.
No, huh? No.
No? Okay. Well, it doesn't make that much of a difference, to be honest with you. Like, it's a bit more accurate, but at the end of the day, it's still a Wiimote. You still do the same damn thing you were doing with the Wiimote in the first place.
I think Tiger Woods is the only game that, from anybody that I've talked to with a Wii, has said it's actually made a big difference.
Yeah. Same here. But again, if you're an avid golfer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We at Nintendo print money, and we don't care about Nico because we're still making money off of them.
That sounds to me like a level up.
Yeah!
All right. We've done two random encounters thus far, and you know what that means. It's time for the boss battle.
Boss battle. Boss battle. Boss battle.
Boss battle is entitled the Wave Your Arms Race. And this comes to us from NowGamer.com. And this is for, the first part is for Murphy's Law. Peripheral manufacturer Razer has shown off its new PC motion controller using the zombie shooting sequel Left 4 Dead 2 at the Consumer Electronics Show 2010. Quote, "With this controller, Razer and Sixth Sense have created the most immersive way to play our games," end quote, said Valve's Chet Felicic. Quote, "For us and our customers, this release represents motion-enabled gaming that's more integrated and visceral than any platform has so far achieved," end quote. "You, sir, are a PC gaming analyst. Will dedicated PC gamers accept this attempt to shift the platform's paradigm?"
Well, now, let me tell you.
He's pulling his pants.
Adjusting the tie. As a PC game analyst, this will fail. I mean, let's face it. Motion controlling has been tried already. It was tried way back when by Microsoft. They had their WaveBird controller. PC gamers have never gotten behind motion controlling. PC gamers want a keyboard, mouse. They want to play their PC games in a more traditional sense. Motion controlling, I've seen the video for Left 4 Dead 2. I would not play that. Nope. I wouldn't want to play that at all. Nope. So, no. As a PC game analyst, I would say do not invest in this company. They are going to go nowhere with this. It is neat technology. Probably going to be resold to Nintendo for the Wii 2. Or maybe they'll end up selling it off to Sony. But, yeah, it's PC gaming wants nothing to do with motion controlling.
Now, have you seen the interface devices?
Yes.
Is it a blatant ripoff or what?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the nunchuck slash PS3 wand in a nutshell without the big bulb at the top.
Yeah, the ice cream cone.
Yep.
I was watching a video of it, and I don't know. It's weird. It almost contradicts itself just by watching it, because here is this motion control that is supposed to be adaptive to everyone, and they're demoing it with Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, and I would also like to point out in the demo, they say 1-to-1, motion control, but it sure as hell looked like there was a little bit of a delay when he did the sword swing.
Yeah. He was struggling, eh?
Yeah, and so I'm not sold on it. I don't think PC gamers are sold on it. Again, P-
PC gamers, keyboard, mouse, that's what they want. Who are we to change that?
Yeah, don't mess with the keyboard and mouse. That's all it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was my one slight against Halo for so long was, let me plug in a keyboard and mouse, and I'll show you what I got.
Right.
You know, because to me, old dog, new tricks, here I am, you know, born and raised on a keyboard and a mouse, and I have to go to this twin stick thing? What is up with this?
Yeah.
I mean, I was getting my backside handed to me on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Halo was actually my... It was what got me to go to consoles and play shooters on consoles, because I used to be the PC shooter, loved Rainbow Six on the PC, but...
Well, it did redefine them.
It did redefine it, but it redefined it because they changed the way the game controlled.
Yes.
Like, if you are going to change the controlling mechanism for a game, then you have to adjust the game. The biggest problem with PC games, you know, becoming shooters for consoles in the past was that PC shooters were very fast-paced, they required really precise control, and the gamepad just didn't allow for that. And so you would have all these titles come out on the PS2, even on, you know, on the PS1 that were shooting titles, and they just didn't work. And with Halo, why it worked was because they slowed down the action a little bit. They didn't make it a breakneck, fast-paced shooter. It allowed for you to have a little bit of overcompensation, and then they also added in some auto-aim assist. And those things were missing from any attempt prior to that.
They fit it perfect to the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And
agreed.
The thing that bugged me was, because of the interface limitation, you know, here you're used to one thing. You know, I'm used to Quake 2, which is fast-paced, it's frenetic, you know, there's not much chance for error, and then I go to something that's a little slower paced because of the input device. I wonder if gaming, if this is actually to become a mainstream interface device, games are going to change on the PC probably to its detriment.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think it is going to be able to succeed on the PC.
I mean, besides maybe a slew of Wii Sports Bowling knockoffs, maybe.
Oh, those are awesome.
but again, I think we have to take into consideration also the typical PC gamer setup. You know, they're showing off this motion controller where this guy's standing in front of this, you know, 50-inch widescreen TV. He's standing way back. He's got the motion controller and he's flailing about. Most PC gamers are at a desk. They're sitting, you know, they've got a chair in front of a monitor. It's not in front of their TV. Most PC gaming happens in a, you know, a desk area formatted, you know, for a PC. And so that kind of control just isn't a real option.
That's a good point.
That's true, too.
That's a good point.
You don't have room, also, where you're probably in a small little office that you have in your home, you know? You're not set
yes.
up to stand yeah. up and start moving around and swinging things.
I mean, I would say that I'm probably about average being on a 20-inch monitor. You know, that's probably mm-hmm. about the norm.
Right.
Most 22s, 24s. 24s are probably on the high end at this point. But I don't have 5.1 around my computer. I don't have any of that stuff. I don't know. I just have a funny feeling that even if it doesn't succeed, they're going to try to force it on the general public.
The reason why I say this is not going to get forced on the general public, at least at this point, it's because there's no mainstream PC software developer that is behind this.
Yeah.
This is a no-name company that decided to make a PC motion controller. It's not Microsoft. It's not Valve saying we're making PC motion controlling games moving forward. The moment you have one of those major players saying all of our PC games are going to be motion controlled, then you have something to worry about.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just a third party that's, you know, said, oh, maybe we can jump onto this bandwagon and make a motion controller for PC side.
Quick money.
Nobody else is behind it.
Yeah, but you turn around, Blizzard says, oh, you know what? Our next game is going to come out with this peripheral. The millions of dollars right there.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, using a motion controller.
Oh, my. Yeah. Can you imagine?
No.
the zombie apocalypse would be upon us.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what? That would actually probably be the one way you could kill off WoW. Is if they went to motion controlling, because if they went to motion controlling, I guarantee you all the WoW players would jump ship and go to some other competitor that, you know, offered up the same kind of gameplay without the motion controlling.
With a conventional interface.
I don't know. They're all loyal, man. They're loyal.
Yeah.
I don't know about
loyal
that.
For now, but you make that kind of change, I think they jump.
All right, let's keep this combo going. Smooth from joystick.com. A few details about Project Natal's technical capabilities slipped out alongside the holiday 2010 release window at Microsoft's Consumer Electronics Show press conference. The most revealing of these specifics is that the hardware will only siphon 10 to 15% of the 360 CPU power, according to a statement from Natal lead developer Alex Kipman. Quote, Natal has to work on existing hardware without taking too much hardware processing away from the game's developers, end quote, Kipman added. You, sir, are a third-party developer. How does this hit to the CPU performance affect how you would develop software using the peripheral?
Okay, well, first of all, it affects it, because every time you want to make a game, you want the most CPU available to you to make the better game, right?
Obviously.
So if you take away from it, then you as a, well, us as a game-making company, we want to make sure that we have all the available, I guess, all the available options, and we want to bring out a game that's going to, you know, take it out of this ballpark. We're going to have the best game that we can possibly produce for everyone to play. And if we're limited on a Nintendo 64 type of graphics, you know, then we're not going to be able to produce a game that people are going to purchase or are going to want to play. Because, especially on a 360, you got to make it look pretty first, you got to make it play nice second, and that's pretty much the two qualifications you have to do here.
I struggle with this one. Part of me is like, you know what, having 10 to 15% power being taken away is pretty big.
Oh yeah.
At least it feels big. The reality is that we don't really know truly how much, you know, if it really is going to be 10 to 15% as a constant, or if this just spikes when the hardware is really needing to work. You know, there's so much not known about how Natal is going to work at this point. I don't want to be too quick to judge. I think this is going to be completely dependent upon how Microsoft supports developers with some back-end software from their end, because, you know, they're developing out this technology. They have to have some apps on their end.
Compression
gonna
techniques.
Going to make this
compilers.
Easy for the... Yeah, make it easy for the developers. And if they're supporting them from the get-go and supporting them really well, then I think this potentially is a minimal effect. But if this is left up to developers to figure out, aka the Sony method, it's going to be disastrous.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, if I'm a third-party developer, I think I look at that 10 to 15%, and I completely understand trying to yank the onboard processor out to try to, you know, make the unit cost-effective.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, if I'm a third-party developer, I look at it and I say, well, you know where the hit's going to go. It's going to go to the AI.
True.
That's what's going to happen. I mean, because, like you said, the game has to be visually impressive.
Yep.
And it has to play well. It has to be responsive. It has to feel like it has some sort of real-world weight to it.
Yeah.
Where it's going to suffer is artificial intelligence. But like I said, unless Microsoft can get some kind of middleware for compilers, for AI scripts, and you know, compression techniques and things like that, it kind of bugs me. Like, I wasn't expecting to see that. I don't really care that you can hit a $50 price point or a $60 price point. For $99, I would have paid that.
Right.
I was going to say, I think Microsoft is looking at the big picture. Most people probably weren't saying they were willing to dive in for $100 for
maybe
this new controller. And they probably know the sweet spot really is going to be under $50, because it's going to be viewed as, you know, another controller.
Yeah.
Right.
I think one of the other things, kind of to your point, Steve, is that, you know, when they're developing these games out and they're looking at how this is going to potentially affect it, I think also they're going to have to, you know, think through, how are we going to use motion control in the game?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I look at like a Halo Reach, and I think, okay, if they were to have motion controlling in that, how would that work? Well, I hope to God they're not trying to implement anything like aiming using the motion controller. What I would love to see in a game like that is maybe some, you know, little mini games where like you're having to do like entering codes into a computer or something, and then
yes.
the interface comes up. And at that point, this 10 to 15% is totally non-existent because it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're not having to worry about AI. It's a simple, you know, puzzle in front of you. But for other games that might be using it in a more dramatic fashion, that I think is going to be an issue.
And also to think about what we see, think about what you've seen at E3 last year. You know, we've only seen stuff from the Avatar, like from Rare, I think, right? That makes the Avatars mm-hmm. or something. So you only see the Avatars kicking the ball or the painting thing or whatever, right? You never really see major graphics like a Modern Warfare 2 or a Halo type of game, right?
I will have to correct you. They did show Burnout running.
Okay, Burnout. But Burnout is not really like a game that's loaded with graphics and a whole bunch
of
things.
Yeah, do you think that's viable?
Everybody that played it said it was kind of viable. I mean, from the standpoint of they were able to control the car one-to-one, real-time, they felt like it responded well. And Burnout is a game that's blistering fast. It does have good graphics.
Yes.
Yeah, but we're also talking about the old-school Natal, which had the actual onboard chip.
True. No. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, but the point I was trying to make with the graphics is that the Rare graphics or the Avatar graphics don't take that much CPU in the first place. So to take away 10 or 15 wouldn't really impact those kind of, we'll call them, Wii-like games. But if you are to go to an actual hardcore game, like you're talking Halo Reach or any future major game, like any Call of Duties or whatnot, then that 10 to 15 is immense. It's too big to make up.
To me, if I'm a third-party developer, what I'm thinking right now is, if you can use Natal to break the pacing of the game and to slow things down at times where you need just a little lull to feel safe and, you know, before it ramps back up. And if it's used correctly, like, I mean, mm-hmm. I know I always go back to this, but, you know, squeezing the two trigger buttons on the PS3 controller to turn the valves in Killzone. You know, like, that kind of thing. If you can rest your controller
right.
down and put your hands up in fists and be able to turn things at that point, it's minimal graphical rendering on the GPU, and it's minimal, minimal hit on the CPU. So at that point, if you can use it to kind of hide things and still keep the game immersive and keep the gameplay fresh, that, to me, is where my eye is focused at this point.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, I think you have a good point. I mean, think about it this way. Next Oblivion, you know, Natal's used for when you go to create potions and you have to add
yes.
the ingredients.
Yep.
You're taking them right on the screen, dumping it in.
That's a
things
great
like
point.
That, I think, will make motion controlling viable. If they're trying to actually utilize that in a mainstream game as the main formula for control, I think the games are going to suffer.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to the killing blow for each of you. The killing blow is all has been quiet on the gem front, which is what is rumored to be the code name for Sony's ice cream wands. So, each of you are Sony. So, Smooth, if Natal is being demoed with a release of Holiday 2010, how can your motion control system release this spring? And we've heard nothing about it.
Yeah, they can't. They just showed it. They just showed it once at one expo or whatever. Okay, so I'm Sony, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Sony's arrogance is going to come into play here. They're going to say, you know what, we got the cat's meow in a bag. Our controller is actually way better than the Wii Motion Plus. It actually does 1-on-1. It's something that's been in the works for a long time. We just haven't talked about it. And we're going to release a game with it to show you guys that that's the best of the best. But, you know, realistically speaking, like, this is me putting this aside here, Sony can't compete with Natal right now because this is coming out before and they haven't really addressed their friggin' ice cream cone motion control yet. They haven't even featured anything really, and basically Microsoft featured everything at E3 that kind of made people go like, really? It can do this? Like, just this week I showed one of my coworkers what Natal can do and he was freaked out.
Yeah.
So
it's almost like they're trying to out Microsoft.
Well, pretty much, yeah. But because exactly
if that makes any sense.
It does, but because you're looking at Sony, and Sony just showed what it could do. Okay, yeah, it swings a sword around. We've seen the Wiimote do that before. It's nothing impressive, but Microsoft came out and they showed something new, something fresh, right? So I don't want to be in Sony's camp for this right now because they can't really justify going against Natal until they actually show us something good.
Marv, no. Killing blow.
Okay, so. Real quickly, kind of on kind of piggybacking what you guys were talking about, where nothing's been said about it, I do think Sony missed the mark with CES especially. They should have had this controller out, getting people talking about it, getting buzz on it. I do think Sony has a little bit of a plan for this, so I'm going to take my swing at it. I'm Sony.
I am Sony!
Okay.
We are at E3! You... we'll buy our new controller! Day and date today! With game! You buy now!
So you think it'll be available the day that they make their keynote?
I think that's probably their plan.
Wow.
It's the only plan that makes sense at this point because...
It does make sense, I guess.
You know, I think they launch at E3 and they make it, you know, available at, you know, basically in stores, and it'll probably be leaked out a good month and a half in advance. Everybody will know it's coming.
Yeah.
And God of War 3 buys you a couple of months.
Oh, exactly. Sony's thinking they've got heavy-hitting titles coming out, so they don't really need this out there right now to create buzz. And they're going to launch it, you know, presumably at E3 with a game that really utilizes the controls well.
Yeah.
I hope they come up with some kind of attachment like that gun for the Wii, you know, where you throw your your dual shock in there and you actually have like a handgun type thing. That'd be funny.
Yeah, so I guess my last piece to it is, you know, they would launch this and it's going to come with Sony Sports, a collection of mini sports games. And everybody's just going to look at them and be like, you ever heard of the Wii?
That sounds to me like the boss is down.
Nice. That's funny. Imagine Wii Sport for the PS3. That'd be awesome.
You know, and it kind of bugs me, but there's part of me that enjoys those simple things for people like, you know, my wife, that's something I can share with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it does have some kind of relevant value on two fronts, whereas, like I said, I can share something with her who isn't a hardcore gamer at all, and two, it brings more people in. And now, I mean, you remember how much maybe 5 to 10 years ago, you know, we were geeks and outcasts and things like that, and now we're the cool kids.
Yep.
So,
oh yeah.
I mean, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Ah, yeah.
So how was RPG?
RPG was fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's a little bit different of a take, you know, kind of. I still like to discuss the things in the news, but you know, just try to keep it, make it a little different, and I like to put people on the spot. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you put me on the spot. I was like, let me retract that comment. Let's make another one.
It makes it fun, keeps it interesting, and probably keeps the listeners on their toes a bit as well.
Yes.
All right, so we will get to the second interlude from Wet, and we will return to involve the community with your hashtag The Gamesman Check submissions. See you in a bit.
Desperado of the dead, true to his guns, and the zombie killers of the wild, wild.
All right, we are back, and it is time to take your hashtag the Gamesman Check submissions over Twitter. What we ask the listeners to do is to make a tweet on Twitter and tag it with hashtag the Gamesman Check and let us know what you're playing for that week. So the first submission is someone that you guys know fairly well, Chinny1985.
I don't know that guy.
He's a scruffy bloke.
He says, hashtag the Gamesman Check, playing hashtag Wallace and Gromit, episode 2. It's a lot of fun, and it has a hashtag achievement relating to offering tea. How? Hashtag British. That's a wild guy there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot contain that man at all.
I try.
You know, just on a quick unrelated note, OC39 I happen to have on a CD in my truck, and I just happened to come across it again the other day, and I was listening to the intro, which now I've dubbed him as Chintros because that guy is wild. And he was talking about something about an intro being made by a man in a pub in the 1942 with a foot on a dead hobo or something.
Sounds about right.
Yeah,
it is about right. I really never know what to expect when I introduce those guys.
That's great.
I do the intro and I just cross my fingers.
I love his music. His intro music is always funny.
Big Bad Daddy gets his licks in too.
Some good facts, yeah.
All right, next, Excalibur713. Hashtag the Gamesman Check. Just finished getting all 1,000 achievements in Assassin's Creed 2. Finally, all those feathers.
Oh, that's probably the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, but at least it's not a collect-a-thon like the first one.
True. Oh. Yeah, true.
Right.
Wow. Let's see. Beer and Beards. Hashtag the Gamesman Check. Playing Darksiders this week. Very fun and graphically pleasing. Story is wicked sweet, and he says, I'm about 7.5 hours into Darksiders. It just keeps getting better.
Nice.
I'm hearing this a lot.
Me too.
I've heard good things about it too.
I want to play this game.
So do I. I'd like to buy it, but I'm trying to burn through Mass Effect. I'm playing it right now, and just as an aside, I was getting frustrated because I'm trying to burn through it. And I turned it down to casual just to get through and get the story, so it's probably going to be a slap in the face when 2 comes out. But, you know, back to Darksiders, I'm such a Zelda fan that I think I would dig it. Yeah. Like, I love everything that they're mashing up.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I love the horse. I love the war, the way he looks. It looks phenomenal. I like the look. But although the graphics look kind of shitty, but I like what they did with it so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Wall of Text, Yoda the Third.
Oh, shit.
Hashtag the Gamesman Check. Selling my 360 to pay for 2010 games. More Modern Warfare 2 and lots of Peggle Master Challenges.
Can't argue with the Peggle.
Could probably argue with the selling of the 360, huh?
Well, you know. He's gone like a complete 180 on his fanboyism.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first 2 years, 360, nothing but hate for the PS3. He got his PS3, nothing but hate for the 360. Now, I will say in his defense, apparently he's burned through 7 consoles.
Yeah.
Like, he's broken 7 consoles. I don't know how the hell he's done it. I think partially he may, like let his cat sleep on the 360 or something, because I just don't get how he's gone through 7, but the boy's gone through 7, so you know what? If I'd gone through 7, I'd be pretty pissed too.
A Yoda does everything big, you know? He wrecks this 360 big, you know? He makes it, make sure he makes it count, you know?
And he's also 8'15" tall.
Apparently.
All right. From T. Marklin, hashtag the Gamesman Check, and this is my brother-in-law. Fable 2 DLC, I think he bought the edition with all the DLC included.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect, $10 used, sweet. And Super Mario Wii, also Burnout Paradise and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. So, I mean, that's Modern Warfare 2. I mean, that's pretty much a given for, I think, everybody but me.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Yeah.
By the way, funniest response ever. I did not realize you didn't have Modern Warfare 2, and I sent you the invite the other day, and I get a response back in text. Are you kidding me?
I thought you were just messing with me.
Yeah. Almost. It was all on purpose. Yeah, it was almost as good a response as the one that JF gave me before. Sorry, Big Smooth gave me before, which was, you know, an invite to come play. And he just responds back with nothing other than, in text, no thanks.
It's now my routine response to whatever you ask me now.
Exactly. Yep. Anytime I ask him something, no thanks.
Yep. And soon the thanks will be dropping off at the end of that, probably.
Pretty much.
All right. We got 3 hashtag the Gamesman Check submissions from Danok. Danok TQ, who is the forum guy over at TQcast.com. He says, my 360 has been getting love over the holidays. Been playing Fracture and Reach. And Reach 100% on Born Conspiracy. He also says 100% on Bully Scholarship Edition. By the way, I think I get better satisfaction when I get a Platinum Trophy compared to 100%.
Wow, okay.
Ridiculous.
Well, he and I had discussed that, and I'm kind of the same way. I feel better. Like, when you look at my trophy card, you automatically know how many I've 100%ed just by seeing those platinum trophies. And plus, it's like an extra trophy. It's made of platinum, supposedly.
It's made of nothing.
Yeah.
It's on your avatar.
Thank you, Murph. Thank you.
But he says, compared to reaching 1,000 points on the 360. But anyways, PS3, Modern Warfare 2, and Uncharted multiplayer. We've been playing a lot of Uncharted 2 multiplayer.
I want to get into those games. If freaking High Class can give me my copy back.
Yeah, you got to get on him.
Ah, oh, man. He's doing so
much. I have
much.
Uncharted.
He does so
Sorry,
much.
Go ahead.
He does so much for me, so I'll leave him alone.
Well, at least he should be showing up then.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I've got Uncharted 2, and I've been playing the single player. I have yet to crack the multiplayer at all.
I would say finish the single player first.
Okay.
And kind of burn. I mean, you don't have to burn through it. The treasures are really extremely difficult to find compared to the first one.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of the co-op and stuff, they are maps that you actually play through in the single player. And it doesn't really spoil it because there's no story, but you kind of get the lay of the environment. And I'd rather just go through and experience it first myself, you know?
Yeah, that's actually one of the nice things about me not caring about trophies. Is that I'm just going through and playing the game for the experience of playing it, as opposed to trying to hunt and find each trophy where it might be, artifact, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, but it definitely, I mean, we got to get together. The thing I've been talking about is trying to get 6 people together at one time to maybe do two co-op parties and race through a co-op map or something like that, you know, try to have a little bit of fun and a little bit of competition and camaraderie.
That'd be cool.
That works.
All right, we got one from AP Stevens. He said, hashtag the Gamesman Check, listening to Dean Martin's On an Evening in Roma whilst gondoliering down the canals of Venezia in Assassin's Creed 2. People are really starting to get to Assassin's Creed 2 now.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a really good game.
I bet. I'd like to see how much. Has there been any words so far about how much it sold for Christmas?
No. MPDs, I think, are coming out next week.
Yeah, it's middle of the month or something, huh?
Typically.
Yep. That is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait to see it. It's such a good game. It got my vote for Game of the Year on our page, at least.
Yeah.
And it just barely edged out Uncharted. And the more I play Uncharted, I go back and forth. But both really, really, really excellent games.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 just lost out on the Overseas Connection podcast Game of the Years to Modern Warfare 2.
Yes, I remember that. All right, Zerum Wing, Z-Dub, he says, hashtag the Gamesman Check, a bit of Grid, Defense Grid, Left 4 Dead, Torchlight, Killing Floor, Bioshock, Jedi Academy, Rome Total War, and Crayon Physics.
Dude.
He is a Steamite.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
Yeah, he's a big, big PC guy.
Mm.
And Crayon Physics, you guys, in your email, as a parting gift for doing the show, each have a copy of Crayon Physics. So,
yeah, that sounds awesome. Thank you very much.
I want you guys to play it. You gotta play it. It's so good. So good. Good time killer, too. It's about a Peggle quality. It's a nice go-to game, you know?
Nice.
All right, next one is from Drew, Frustrated Fury over at Evolved Gaming. He says, playing Bayonetta, Persona 3, Assassin's Creed 2, DJ Hero, and Street Fighter 4. Yeah, I know that's too much. Hashtag the game's been checked.
No, he's just keeping busy.
Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to have stuff to play or else you ain't playing anything.
That's right.
Very true.
Murphy's Law 0013 says
the
Dragon
hell's
Age.
That guy?
I know. Loser. Who put 0013
Dragon Age, big surprise.
Because somebody took Murphy's Law. Bastards.
Oh, okay.
I would have never thought that on a social networking site.
Yeah. Go figure.
You say Dragon Age, Modern Warfare 2, and Mag Beta took up my time this week. I gave Dark Void for a ride for 5 minutes and deleted the demo. Hashtag the gamesman check.
Yeah, Dark Void disappointed like there was no tomorrow.
It looks kind of generic.
It's generic and it does not control well.
Yeah. It looks like it's trying to do some neat things. I was at the residence of one Beards and Beer, and he had downloaded it, and I had watched him play it. I hadn't played it myself, but it looks like Unreal Engine 3, and it looks just eh.
It doesn't look bad.
Nah.
It certainly is trying to do some different things. I think once you get into the vertical gunplay, it has some interesting little hooks to it, but the flying sequences were just they were just painful for me. And
yeah.
And you know, it's kind of a big part of the game. You know, rocket jetpack, hello.
Yeah.
So, I will not be looking to play that game.
I'm going to reserve judgment. I'll try it if I can convince somebody else to buy it. play it, but I don't know. It didn't excite me for what it was, and it really didn't excite me before I even saw the demo because it just looked generic. But it was one of those things where I thought, okay, well, I mean, maybe it has potential. Let's just kind of wait it out and see what happens with it.
Yeah, I'm on the same wavelength as you are, Steve, but I got the demo, so I might try it eventually. But the fact that Murph is saying he doesn't like it, I think I'm going to be with him, though, because I almost agree with him 90% of the time.
Yeah. In Tropicurity, he says, hashtag the gamesman check, getting back into hashtag Guild Wars and loving it. Well into the first tier of the Eye of the North storyline. I don't know. Either you guys probably didn't play Guild Wars at all, did you?
That's way no. over my head.
It's so good. We had such a good time with that. Like, for 3 years. I've never played a game for 3 years.
Well, Guild Wars, wasn't that, in a sense, kind of the free version of WoW?
Sort of. It was more... Actually, it was completely instance-based besides the outpost and the cities and things like that. Those were kind of your lobbies.
Okay.
And it was just really, it compelled me because first, it's not the fact that I'm cheap, but I have a hard time paying for things more than once, you know?
No, that makes sense.
And to me, I like to buy in once and be done with it. I am not a fan of subscription models at all. And the free-to-play aspect of Guild Wars really kind of hooked me, and I played it, like I said, for 3 years straight, and every night was like a family night. I mean, when we played it, we had a blast.
Okay.
It was really good. I'm looking forward to Guild Wars 2, but if it ever comes out, that's where I'm at right now. Let's see. Big Smooth 8, you say, hashtag the gamesman check. I've been playing God of War Collection, Modern Warfare 2, Spec Ops, Shadow Complex, and Madden Arcade. So you'll play Madden Arcade, but you won't play Madden 10?
Yeah, whatever.
I threw that one in there for Greg.
Douchebag.
I'm just saying, I mean, if you'd buckle up and buy the Madden Arcade, we'd be able to play one-on-one.
I will play the proper Madden. Again, this is my call, not your call.
I know.
I'm not gonna fall for trickery, Mr.
Trickery.
Yeah. Just because you fell for it, Mr. Maple Syrup, does not mean I'm going to fall for it.
All right. I see how it's going to be.
God of War Collection's really, really good, isn't it?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Very rarely do I play a game where the cinematics are crappier than the actual gameplay.
No.
because what they've done, they kept the same cinematics as the original game. But the gameplay, they've remastered it, and it looks way better than the actual cinematics.
Yeah.
So, but the game itself is phenomenal, because I've never played God of War 1 or 2, so this is my introduction to the series, and let me just tell you, it's beautiful.
Okay, so let me just pose this question to both of you just really fast. And this is the way that I'm feeling about it is, I am not so much opposed to Dante's Inferno, but if I am going to play that type of game, I would rather play through God of War, God of War 2, and be ready for God of War 3 than be burned out with an extra game in the same style.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm basically with Dante's Inferno is going to be one of those games that I would pick up when there's nothing left to pick up.
Yeah.
Like, I personally was shocked that EA was giving so much attention and love to Sony for Dante's Inferno when clearly the market for Dante's Inferno, based on its release date and based on, you know, God of War 3, is going to be on the 360.
Nail on the head.
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell are you guys doing, you know, putting out an exclusive demo out onto the PS3 when you should be trying to generate all the love you can for the 360, because nobody that has a PS3 is going to pick Dante's Inferno over God of War 3.
Well, I mean, like I said, Dante's has just pulled its great, huge, giant Kratos balls out and just laid them on the table. I mean, you know, for lack of a better word, but that's pretty much what it's done.
Yeah.
All right, Scandalex1. Scandalex says, hashtag the gamesman check. Trying out Borderlands, not feeling it, though. Still addicted to Sims 3 and finishing my season in NBA 2K10.
I like that guy. Now,
I enjoyed Borderlands, but Borderlands, I think I enjoyed more from a cooperative experience as opposed to just single player.
Bingo.
So if you're doing it by yourself, you're not going to have fun.
Bingo. Nail on the head. If you don't, if you play single player, it's going to be a long game. but is that guy playing on the PS3? Because I don't have NBA 2K on the PS3.
I think he's playing it on the 360, I want
to
say.
Oh, well, he's going to have to be added to my friends list, I guess.
There you go. There you go. You have to look up. Do you have... actually, you could probably look at mine. Check out my friends, and you'll be able to find him and add him.
I don't know if I can find your gamer tag, though. It's buried under the years of not playing it except Mass Effect.
Come on. Now, you're telling me that my 610 gamer points are not going to be like a beacon in the darkness?
No.
Literally a beacon.
Yeah. I wouldn't say a beacon. I'd say maybe a flashlight, maybe?
A flicker.
Others might call it a blight.
Now, come on. I've made big steps.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last few months.
Yes, you have.
Large steps.
A huge step, I think, just came recently, if I'm not mistaken.
You saw it.
Yes.
You saw it. I was going to get
somebody stepped up and actually paid for Xbox Live Gold.
I bought a month of gold last night. I paid the $8 and bought a month of gold.
Now that I know this, I'm going to let you experience what true community gaming feels like, because we're going to get you into a chat room with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody playing their own thing, and then everybody being able to converge in on one game while talking at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And our game nights are crazy, by the way, just in case you don't know.
I'll give it a try. I am. That's one of my gaming New Year's resolutions this year, is to completely play games that I would never think to play before.
Yeah.
So, aside from Modern Warfare 2.
So, Steve, how does it feel to actually man up and, you know, be a man now, actually have the subscription?
It kind of hurt. I mean, I was always...
Well, wait till we start chatting with you and you're getting like actual voice chats and stuff while you're in a game and being able to answer a voice chat while in a game.
Yeah.
It's going to change. You're going to go back to the PSN and you're going to be like, oh, wait, I can't do that.
Yes.
Well, like I said, I mean, and it all goes back to my distaste of subscription-based things. I hate subscriptions. And it's always been a principle of mine to refuse to pay for subscriptions. But it seems like now, I mean, I'm getting to the point where it might not be much of a choice. And if I were to do that, I don't know if I would simply pay by the month if there was like an event on the 360, because obviously at this point I'm more invested in the PlayStation 3.
True.
Because I have been, you know, but I refuse to miss out on, you know, a lot of the exclusives on the 360, and Mass Effect 2 being my first one.
I'll say this from an Xbox Live Gold subscription standpoint, check out Amazon. That's the best place to get Xbox Live, if you ask me. Usually it goes for about $39, and then
you know, if you have the Prime shipping or whatever, it's going to be free. So $40 and you're in. If not, it'll be about $44 for a full year.
Yes.
But oftentimes, for the same price, they're giving away the 12 plus 1 month memberships.
Yes.
So you're getting 13 months. And yeah, we'll get in. We'll play some 1v1, you know, 100 together. A little game showing.
Sounds good.
I can't game with my Canadian brothers. They're on like a different system. It won't let me. So I got to do it with some people from the, you know, the good old USA.
Well, on that note, that's all the Gamesman Check submissions for this week. So I wanted to get to the wrap up. We'll just wrap the show up at this point. Real quick, this Friday night, January 15th, I'm going to put it up, Burnout Paradise Xbox 360 Family Night.
Ooh.
I bought my first Xbox 360 game. I bought Burnout Paradise used for like $17.
Great
so,
deal.
Awesome.
I've already 101%ed it on the PlayStation Network, but I figure what I'm going to do is just buy the unlock pack on the 360 and just play it that way.
You could
interesting.
Do that. Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, why not at that point? Because I've already proven my worth on another system, you know.
Yeah, but we can't see that.
No, but
we're going to be looking at your 610 gamer score. And we're gonna be like, really?
I'm going to start throwing
again,
trophies at you guys.
If you look at my Burnout Paradise gamer score, you'll feel right at home.
It's a great game to have, though, because we used to have
community
game nights with that. I'm going to jump in because I just looked up my game collection. I still have it.
Good.
I still have mine.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Even at some point, I mean, I don't know if enough people show up, we might have to have two lobbies. But I love Burnout. It's eight players. It's, you know, it's obviously one of the best software created this generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's perfect for a game night, and it probably will remain. And, you know, one of our listeners who is a buddy of mine that's on the PlayStation Network, Kozigan, he actually sent us an email last week. He's shamed me into having one on the PSN, too, so we're going to have to get that set up pretty soon.
I got Burnout on the PSN as well.
Cool. Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap this up. Big Smooth, where will you be on the web for the week to come?
I'll be on www.couchmercenaries.com, as well as thegamesman.com.
Yes, you will.
Yep, and I'll be looking for you guys. That's pretty much where I'll be hanging around. Probably all the other shows too, all the other websites that are affiliated with our shows here. So, yeah, that's where I'll be.
Cool. Murphy's Law, where will you be on the web for the week to come?
Well, let's see. There's going to be surfing porn. That's always a staple of my work day. And from there, yeah, you know, gamesman.com, couchmercenaries.com. Tuesdays we record our the Overseas Connection podcast. So typically speaking, that's done around 3 o'clock Pacific time, which is, I guess, 6 Eastern. So you can certainly send emails to us as well. But
nice.
You can find that on the site. Enough self-promoting.
I was gonna say that's kind of pushing it, you know, buddy.
Hey, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Little bit of cross pollination never hurt anybody. All right, for me, the web for the week to come. I am JSSLIFELIKE. Just about everywhere: PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, which is now Gold, Skype, Steam, Xfire, anywhere. You can pretty much Google me and you'll probably find me somewhere. The email address, if you would like to put us into some roles, if there are things that you like about the show, things that you don't, let us know. Drop us a line at thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. And also, like we said earlier, there are still a few pair of dual triggers from PDP left, so shoot us an email with your shipping address and we will get you in queue, and the first 12 will get a pair of triggers, which are pretty awesome.
They are awesome.
iTunes reviews. How important are iTunes reviews, guys?
Oh,
huge,
yeah.
We got a few, and they're, to me, like I said, they're not super, super important to us. We'd love to have them. I'm glad that you guys listen. Glad that you guys submit content. It's fantastic. Just keep it up. And if you feel so inclined, drop us an iTunes review.
No, all right. Here's the deal.
Yeah, okay.
No, you have to submit iTunes reviews. Don't listen to Steve. They need them. They want them. And personally,
you know, anything less than a 5 is a slap in the face. So
that's right.
5-star reviews only. This is what he was really trying to tell you, roundabout way.
That's right. And anything that's like 4 stars and below, we're gonna pull a Jay and Silent Bob, knock to your door. Geez. That's right. We're gonna knock at your door and say, "Are you such and such that said we suck ass?" Well, you know. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. What he said. What he said.
That's right. That's right. So that's what we're gonna do. I put up my review, by the way, but it's on the Canadian side of it, so I doubt you'll ever see it. But I emailed you what I said.
That's yeah, we did read it at that point, and I'm still checking to see. I don't even know if it came up yet.
Well, yeah, it should be on the Canadian side. I'll check.
iTunes is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last plug for Duke and www.vghub.net, Velocity Gamers. Mm-hmm. Check us out. You can check all the shows out there. And don't forget, Burnout Paradise Xbox 360 Family Night, Friday, January 15th, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Family night. Does that imply I have to watch what I say?
No, that just means that it's the family of shows. Everybody, you know, anybody who wants to show up that listens to any of the shows, I'll post at various places. And, you know, we want all of you to show up. You know, we want to have a good time. Communal experience. That's what gaming's all about.
I'm all about the communal experience.
Whoa.
All right. Well, once again, thank you guys. I can't thank you guys enough for pulling my backside out of the fire.
Oh, no. Thank you for having us on the show. It's been a blast.
Yeah, I had to talk to Greg for like 3 hours. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be sending my complaint email, by the way, about him being on the show. You'll see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on behalf of Big Smooth 8 and on behalf of Murphy's Law, I am Lifelike. We are the Gamesmen. And until next time, we ask, what role will you play?
What role will you play?
Quel rôle vas-tu jouer? Okay.
All right.
Was that just me or everyone?
No, it was just you. Somehow it dropped you.
Man, all right. Man, I was just insulting you saying you look like Candace Bergen. Shit. They can't do that like that.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty
God's
funny.
Way of telling you, you are denied.
Bergen.